here we go. Triple H's office. After you, sir. Good morning, how are you? You're not Stephanie. You're much prettier than she is. Killer Kowalski! Who did he ever train?
You can't go in there.
Sit down and shut up.
How's your day going? Do you like working for Triple H?
Knock, knock, anybody home? Brock, will you look at this? The executive offices of Triple H? Look at the size of that logo! It's the size of Triple H's ego!
I don't believe any two superstars can generate the type of emotion among our fans than these two men.
Really?
You're listening to Smack Talk Radio Live.
The best there is.
Hey, yo.
The best there was.
I may have got knocked stupid, but I think there's still some people cheering out there.
And the best there ever will be.
Your source for news.
When I look around that locker room, the only true challenge I have left is ending the streak.
Views and opinions on everything wrestling.
Now think about that. I slapped Vince McMahon in the face.
Oh my God, the Undertaker going to the top of the cage.
From the big leagues to the local scene.
The Bollywood boys, we don't take the SkyTrain.
Now.
I was handed nothing. I busted my ass, and I sacrificed for this business.
Here's James McDonald.
And you need to learn to worship the ground I walk on.
Really?
And Corey Callahan.
I'm the host of it, and you're not. Now you get out of here right now.
My microphone constantly cuts out.
It doesn't matter what you think.
I'll stop you right there. I'm already sick of hearing you talk. You egomaniac.
It's time.
It's Thursday, May 9th, 2013. Wrestling Talk Radio back on the air once again. This is Smack Talk Radio Live. Hello, everyone. My name is Corey Callahan. Sitting next to every girl's dream.
Nightmare, buddy. Come on, nightmare.
James McDonald.
Tell it like it is.
How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good, man. It's a nice night here in Vancouver, British Columbia, so I can't think of anything better than to sit here in the Smack Talk studios with you, breaking down all the week's latest news, views, and opinions in the world of professional wrestling right here, and I say it every week, on a show by the fans, for the fans.
I have a question for you.
What's that?
I was just listening to the clip at the top of the show there with Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman breaking into Triple H's office.
The best thing that happened on Raw this week, yeah.
What is the main event of Extreme Rules? Is it Brock Lesnar versus Triple H, or is it John Cena versus Ryback?
I think at this point it's still going to be Cena versus Ryback.
Really?
Yep. I think Triple H and Lesnar obviously will be the undercard, but it'll be a double main event thing. But yeah, I think it's going to be Cena and Ryback.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Now, to find this show where we catch you all up on the week it was in professional wrestling, you have to head to www.smacktalkradiolive.com. Woo! Like the page at facebook.com/smacktalkradio.
It's a mouthful, I know.
And add us on Twitter at SRL Radio. And hey, while you're at it, go to stitcher.com.
Yes.
And look up our radio show there. Great way to listen to our show. And hey, Jan, we got an email address as well, don't we?
On air at smacktalkradiolive.com. I plug it at the end of the show, but I'll plug it at the top as well.
There you go. Quick and to the point. Now, we're talking with Raj Geary tonight of WrestlingInc.com, a great wrestling news website. I mean, there is...
one of the best.
Yeah, and there's a lot out there, but if you're looking for a credible one, Raj is the guy behind it. He's a great guy, and it's a great website. We're going to talk with him in a couple minutes here. Extreme Rules, James, happening Sunday, May 19th from the Scotts Trade Center in St. Louis, Missouri. It's worth asking, are you interested in this pay-per-view?
I'm still interested in it, definitely.
Really?
Yeah, I'm interested in it. I mean, there's lots of questions that are going to be answered, that have to be answered. Like, who's going to win? Is it going to be Cena giving up the title only 1 month after he wins it, or 6 weeks, I should say?
Or do you think that this pay-per-view will leave more questions than answers?
That could happen as well. You're right.
That's interesting. All right. We'll talk about it all later down the road in our Tale of the Tape segment. But for now, let's talk about the business side of things. Let's get you all caught up with our post-to-post report.
Catching you up with the business of the business. It's time for the post-to-post report.
All right, let's get y'all caught up on the business of the business, the post-to-post report, my favorite segment where we're talking everything surrounding professional wrestling, not necessarily the stuff that you see on Monday Night Raw. I'm trying to figure out what's more interesting these days, James, the business side or the creative side?
I don't know. None of them are really turning my crank, I'll have to say.
Well, because we always just hear from you and I, it's time to hear from someone new on the post-to-post report, and we decided to bring in I guess you'd call him an expert, wouldn't you?
I would.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would label him an expert, absolutely.
This guy has made a career out of the business of professional wrestling. We welcome to the show from WrestlingInc.com, a great wrestling news website, Raj Giri. Raj, are you there, and how are you doing, my friend?
I'm here. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, no worries.
It's good to have you on the show, man.
It's
good to be here.
You're almost harder to get a hold of than John Cena himself.
I wouldn't go that far now. Come
on. Yeah,
that's a bit of a stretch.
Well, thanks a lot for coming on, Raj. I appreciate it, and we're looking forward to this for sure. Now, before we get into the news headlines of the week, let's talk about you for a couple minutes. You do run WrestlingInc.com. Can you give us a bit of details on what that website's all about?
Yeah, well, it started out back in 1997. We're, you know, one of the largest with the largest independently owned website, wrestling website, and one of the oldest. Been around through a lot of stuff. Originally the site started out kind of as, me kind of taking the news and just kind of giving my opinions on what's going on. And it evolved from there to where, you know, I started interviewing wrestlers and then getting contacts and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then starting breaking news. And then went from there. It's been growing ever since, and you know, it's last month was the biggest month we've ever had in the history of the site.
Really?
It's gone.
Now, how much of the actual wrestling industry follows you or encourages you to run this website? Or do wrestlers or office people do they typically not like these types of websites, or are they pretty supportive of it?
Wrestlers usually really like these kind of websites because especially mid-card to, you know, lower card guys, because you'd be surprised how little a lot of these guys know about what's going on.
Mm.
A lot of them check out the websites to figure out kind of what's going on news wise.
Mm.
So I know they like it. The office people, it really depends. Some of the office people are cooperative, others hate internet wrestling sites. Vince McMahon pretty much hates them. So
interesting.
It really varies.
Have you ever had the opportunity to meet Vince himself?
No, I haven't. I think it'd be interesting, but
fair enough.
That is the elusive holy grail of wrestling interviews.
That's right. Well, you know what? And you know what? You have your own podcast and your own radio show, and James and I have both listened to it, and you've got some pretty big names on there. So things must be going pretty well for WrestlingInc.com, would you say?
Yeah. It's like I said, last month was the biggest ever, and
it
continues to grow. So
awesome.
It's my baby.
At Wrestling Inc. is the best way to follow the website on Twitter. Is there any other ways or other avenues that people can follow along?
You could do Facebook/Wrestling Inc., YouTube/Wrestling Inc. and the number one. Just the site itself.
All right. Let's get into it here, boys. We're going to try and basically pick up where we last left off with the post-to-post report. We're still trying to experiment with how this segment works out, because we've tweaked it literally a million times since day one.
Yeah, we're doing little modifications here.
Yeah,
and there,
so
just
we're gonna
see what works best.
We're gonna run down a couple headlines and we're gonna talk about it amongst the three of us. And I want to start with this news, and it's really it's just coming out this week, and that is that Dolph Ziggler has suffered a concussion at what appears to be the SmackDown tapings
on
this
Tuesday,
week.
That's right.
It happened during a match with Big E Langston versus Jack Swagger. How critical is this for the WWE? I mean, this just has got to be the worst news at the worst time. Would you agree, Raj?
It's definitely the worst for Ziggler. He was just starting to break out. you know, as a single star, or as a, you know, upper card kind of guy. It's sounding like the concussion is pretty serious. You know, they're going to have to do an impact test, which is what they do with NFL athletes, which is where once they start to heal, they pass this test, and which is a kind of a controversial test. And if he passes it, then he'd be allowed to return. From the sounds of things, it's not a minor concussion. At least that's how company officials are proceeding. He's been pulled from all of his bookings for now. And it's just kind of a wait and see right now. He underwent tests yesterday, and you know, they're waiting to hear back on all the results. But you know, that's kind of where it stands now. And I agree. I think it's just the worst timing, especially because the talent is really spread thin right now. You don't have CM Punk there. Triple H and Brock Lesnar are part time. They don't even appear every week. Undertaker might be back sooner than you know, WrestleMania. It appears like he will be, but. Just don't have the depth right now, and it's just going to come at a worse time. I mean, exactly at a worse time.
Let me ask you this, James. Creatively, what happens with Dolph Ziggler here? I mean, he is the world heavyweight champion. He's heading into Extreme Rules with this ladder match with Jack Swagger and Alberto Del Rio. Does he take part in Sunday? I mean, I'm thinking the answer is no, but if he doesn't, how do you treat this creatively?
Well, creatively, I mean, if the injury is as serious as they're all saying, I think the only thing you could really do with Ziggler right now is to take him out of the match and maybe vacate the World Heavyweight Championship, and then maybe just have a match between Ziggler and Del Rio for a vacated title at Extreme Rules. I don't think it'd be a very good idea just to throw somebody random in there just to keep it a three-way. I think that'd be kind of a bad idea. But creatively, I think that's pretty much the only thing you can really do.
And Raj brings up a good point. I mean, this is the worst timing. There's so many guys that are not here right now, and the product is suffering immensely. And Dolph Ziggler is one of those guys that could still pump out a spectacular match. I mean, everyone wants to see him as the World Heavyweight Champion, so he was still a draw, a reason to tune into Monday Night Raw.
Just terrible timing for Ziggler as well, too. I mean, he's got all this momentum behind him now after cashing in his...
Well, as much momentum as the WWE will give him, let's clarify.
Hey, he's still got momentum behind it. Let's not kid ourselves here. Yeah. I mean, just totally bad timing for Ziggler. I mean,
fair enough.
Big roadblock.
And, you know... Yeah. The show is impacted here by the lack of stars. I mean, Monday Night Raw, in terms of television ratings this week, it scored a 2.9 rating, and it's down 0.2 from last week. And correct me if I'm wrong, Raj, but I believe it's actually the lowest rating of the year for the WWE so far.
It's the lowest rating and the lowest viewership of the year.
It dropped from a 3.14 3 weeks ago, a 3.07 last week, and 2.9 this week. So... the post-WrestleMania lull, and as much as we hate to use that term on the show, James, it definitely is, we're feeling it, and with Ziggler out, we're going to feel it even more.
Well, I mean, I think it's just a matter of creatively, people aren't interested in what they're doing right now.
All right. That's
cool. The post-WrestleMania lull is also, it's kind of an excuse. You know, business really caught fire in 1998 after WrestleMania 14. And so, you know, the post-WrestleMania, that was one of the hottest growth periods for WWE. So just blaming it on the WrestleMania lull, I think it's kind of
I agree, it's an excuse, but I mean typically typically it kind of cools down after WrestleMania, those 3 months after WrestleMania.
And you know,
I find.
And the reason being is because they bring back these stars for WrestleMania and then have nothing afterwards, as opposed to building your own stars and letting them take off after WrestleMania. And so you keep seeing this pattern, because you know, the top matches at WrestleMania, it's always the older guys, guys that have been around for a while who aren't necessarily full-time.
It doesn't have to be this way, is basically what it comes down to. And it's no Absolutely one's fault. Not. It's no one else's fault but the WWE's, but we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I mean, you just look at how Cesaro was booked this week. They gave him a little bit of a push on Monday, and then 2 nights later, he's losing clean to Randy Orton. And so no one's ever going to get over if you're not really putting your full effort behind someone.
Yeah, the parody booking is definitely killing a lot of their talent.
It has been for a long time.
Guys aren't where they should be. I mean, like you just said, Cesaro should be a much bigger star than he is right now. Cody Rhodes should be a much bigger star than he is right now. Guys like Daniel Bryan should be a much bigger star than he is right now. But
who knows here? Maybe with Dolph Ziggler becoming injured, or I hate to say it, maybe other guys could capitalize off this, like Antonio Cesaro, because they're going to have to fill that void. There's no question about it. So
you keep thinking they're going to have to, but they never do. Yeah, you know, exactly. It's rare.
Yeah. Let's move on to another topic here, and I want to talk about YouTube. And it's no secret that WWE has a lot of programming and a business relationship with YouTube. News has come out Thursday that TNA is announcing that they are unveiling, or they are releasing, a paid subscription channel with YouTube. So instead of just going to YouTube.com, typing in a video, looking at it for free, you are now able to go to their, essentially what is a TV channel, and you're paying $4.99 a month. This is something that WWE has been rumored to do or wanting to do, but TNA seemed to be breaking the mold here and doing it first. Let me ask you, Raj, what are your thoughts on the way wrestling has been portrayed with this YouTube business relationship? Do you like the way TNA and the WWE has handled themselves in that department?
Well, I think the WWE turned the YouTube deal down, and I think part of that is because they want all their archive footage for the network. TNA, their YouTube channel, which launched, and you can actually go to, and they're offering like a 2 free week subscription, mm-hmm. but it's basically their TNA on demand, but now it's also on YouTube, because it's basically just their old DVDs and old pay-per-views. And so in that sense, I think it's fine.
I wanted to ask. So this isn't necessarily a channel that you tune into and there's regularly scheduled programs. You can still pick and choose what you're watching on their YouTube channel. Is that right?
Right, exactly. And their old, so it's a separate channel. Their current YouTube channel is pretty much going to stay the same. So they're still going to put out, you know, all the highlights from Impact and everything like that. And it's just basically their archived footage that you can access. And since, you know, that's basically extra money because, you know, they don't really make much money off that footage anyway. So, you know, I think in that sense, it was a good move for them.
Let me ask you this. Do you ever watch their footage on YouTube?
I mean, I've seen it all already, so, you know, I really don't watch much old wrestling footage unless it's from the 80s or, you know, stuff from the Attitude Era, but other than that, you know, it's all stuff you keep kind of seeing.
I look at how the WWE has handled themselves with YouTube, and I find a lot of their programming to be complete time wasters, which it is. I mean, all these little shows they have.
It's almost oversaturation. I mean, with all the shows that they have per week now, you got Raw, SmackDown, Main Event, Saturday Morning Slam, and now you've got this YouTube channel. It's just, it almost feels like it's oversaturation. And mm-hmm. really, are you going to... Sorry, go ahead, Raj.
And you also got that E show coming up in June.
Yeah, exactly. The Total Divas.
And the difference between a lot of those things that you mentioned there, James, is that they're free on television. And here we are supposed to pay to watch it on YouTube. I can appreciate that they're utilizing technology to their advantage, that they're trying to, you know, draw some money from a new method. And it may work, but I'm just saying at this point, I can honestly say as a hardcore wrestling fan, I rarely tune into the YouTube content. So for me, there needs to be a better reason as to why I'm going to pay $4.99.
No, I totally agree with you. I think the only YouTube content I watched was that WrestleMania pre-show, mm-hmm. and that was it.
So,
yeah, I have to watch the show, you know, pretty much to, you know, for the website. But it's you don't get much. You know, the only things that are sometimes interesting would be the backstage fallouts that they do from Raw and SmackDown, and that's once in a while. But yeah, I mean, they do the pre-shows. But yeah, they're not going to charge. I mean, there was talk at one point, there were rumors that this YouTube subscription thing was going to be basically the WWE network, that's where they're going to put it all.
Mm-hmm.
But then that was quickly, I spoke with someone from WWE who said they weren't going to do that. They're proceeding with the network. And so that's...
Who knows?
You know, you guys brought up a good point. You know, and it applies to the network. Who's going to want to pay $15 a month for the network when you have all this wrestling on, you know, for free?
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to need to break a million subscribers to break even. And, you know, you got Raw drawing 4 million each week. That's 25% of your fan base, basically, you need.
It's going to be a big task.
It's going to be, it's very risky. I mean, they're planning to move all the pay-per-views except for WrestleMania onto it, which is probably a good move. But even then, a million a million subscribers. That's a big task.
I just, like, I even look at the WWE's YouTube pre-show that they do before pay-per-view sometimes. They'll show a match or two on YouTube, and, you know, it's used to try and get you to buy the pay-per-view on television. And I said this before to James, is that's great. That's a great idea, but they treat it like such a joke. If you wanted this to be successful and you wanted people to actually tune into YouTube, you have something happen, like a title change or some sort of big swerve that happened on YouTube where you can say to the people later on, you should have checked out YouTube. You would have seen this title change hands. Or you would have seen this angle take place. You know what I mean? Like, they've never really taken that seriously. And for that, I've kind of pushed the whole YouTube idea aside. Now, TNA may handle it differently here. And it might be a really good idea for TNA because they don't have as much content as the WWE. I'm just saying that at this point, it's a very new idea. And I thought it was worth talking about. That's really what I've wanted to bring up.
Well, I wanted to go back on your point there where you're saying you need to have something interesting happen on the YouTube, like a title change or mm-hmm. something like that. The flip side, the problem with that being is they're just going to repeat it on Raw or SmackDown or whatever show you're going to watch for free anyway. So yeah. What's the point of tuning into YouTube to watch it when they're just going to, you know, replay it 10 times?
Fair enough.
Well, they used to do it. They used to do some, you know, good stuff back in the day where they used to have the pre-show on Sunday Night Heat. And I remember when they had the NWO come back and, you know,
yeah, I remember
the pre-show
that.
Ended with the NWO walking out. And so, like, everyone's like, oh, I got to buy this. You know, they're coming out to the ring. And, you know, yeah. So, like,
that was cool.
That was an effective way to do
yes,
it.
I agree.
Yeah. And, you know, they had WrestleMania. They tried doing the title change. But the problem is the Intercontinental title, the U.S. title, these titles don't mean anything anymore. That it doesn't...
But you could use those.
You don't feel like you missed anything.
No, but you could use those and try and gauge some interest.
Fair enough.
Okay. Leave it at that. Another conversation for another time. Let's talk about this. Ring of Honor, Jay Briscoe.
Oh, what a fool.
Now, I bring this name up because here's what's happened. He has tweeted something derogatory about gay marriage, talking about if you teach my son about... gay marriage.
I think he said something to the effect, of course I'm just paraphrasing here, I think he said something to the effect of, if you try to teach my child that homosexuality is wrong, I'll shoot you. That was essentially what the tweet was.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Now, this brings up a bigger conversation, and that is how effective is it to be on Twitter when you are a wrestler? Because we have seen some wrestlers use it to their advantage and make their careers. We've seen Zack Ryder.
Zack Ryder's a big one.
He's built a Twitter audience that has propelled him into the spotlight. But we've also seen guys use Twitter negatively. And here's Ring of Honor Jay Briscoe. He's a guy that was rumored about to be signed by the WWE, and now he comes out with this. I mean, that's just like shooting yourself in the foot. And we've seen it before with, I mean, Scott Steiner had disparaging remarks against TNA. We had Carlito recently talking about, well, basically throwing the accusation out there that The Rock is on steroids. At one point, we saw CM Punk telling a fan to kill himself over Twitter. My question is it...
Don't forget about Kurt Angle. I mean,
yeah.
the biggest...
He's used Twitter to vent his frustration.
Yeah, the biggest... Yeah, I can't think of the word right now, but you know what I mean. Like, the biggest violator, I guess, would be Kurt Angle.
My question here is it smart to be on Twitter as a professional wrestler these days? And the easy answer is yes, but let's just think about this. Whoa. How is Twitter helping a guy like Jay Briscoe when he's doing that?
And should companies like WWE and TNA, should they have a social media policy set in place?
Rush, your thoughts?
They absolutely should. I think it's a cool way for wrestlers to interact with fans. You know, like back in the day, the star seemed so out of reach. You know, when I was a kid, like you'd have to send a letter. You just, you know, never would think of interacting with the star.
Call the hotline.
Now, you know, exactly. And you know, now they're in a second they're retweeting you or responding to a tweet. So you know, I think in that way, as far as you know, engaging the fan base and things like that, And, you know, when they tweet out something that's funny, that gets retweeted and, you know, sent through the whole Twitter universe. So, you know, for the most part, you don't hear these problems. It's pretty rare. And so, and considering how many tweets there are. So, you know, in that respect, I think it's a good thing. CM Punk, That was probably I think that's the only, or Michael Cole also used a homophobic slur once.
Yeah,
but yeah. So as far as contracted WWE talent, you know, they do teach them about how to use Twitter and these things, and it shows for the most part. They're pretty good. The thing with Jay Briscoe, I mean, it was just a really dumb. You know, you're just wondering like where, you know, what year is this guy living in?
Yeah.
To even think that's okay to tweet out. So yeah, I mean, and he's tweeted, you know, I posted an article on this earlier. He had tweeted something similar in 2011. So it's not the first time. And, you know, this is something that, you know, at least for the short term, could cost him a contract with WWE. I would guess it would if they were getting close to signing him.
Do you think that the WWE, Ring of Honor, TNA, do you think that all the wrestlers' tweets should have to filter through a system before it actually gets out there? Or is there this idea that it is your own personal Twitter account, so you handle the fate in your own hands?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Twitter has something like that where it can pass through some intermediary. So, you know, I think, and because of that, you know, they post their own tweets, and you know, I think they do have people monitoring. At least with WWE, they have people that monitor, you know, all the wrestlers' tweets and things like that. And but you know,
it's an interesting
thing like this. You know, the UFC, I think it was Miguel Torres last year tweeted out kind of like a rape joke. It was a quote from a TV show, and he tweeted that out, and he got fired over that. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, one of these days, something, you know, there's going to have to be something public done show that's not tolerated.
Well, the other thing here is that people can say whatever they want to as many people as they have on their Twitter,
exactly,
whenever they want.
Does it become a freedom of speech issue now?
Exactly. There's nothing censoring these people. And I mean, really, it comes down to your own stupidity here. I mean, Jay Briscoe, it's just a dumb move, especially at a time when the WWE is seriously considering you. So that's really, I mean, we've talked about this before. It's really all I wanted to say here is that it's a dumb move.
Yeah.
Right?
It's really dumb. And, it's not just that he's, you know, threatening, you know, he's threatening people.
Yeah.
He's so homophobic that he's going to shoot someone.
You say that out
on
the street?
That just takes it to another level, you know? Yeah, I mean, you talk about freedom of speech, but you can't go out on the street and say you're going to shoot somebody or,
exactly,
you know, things like that. So, you know, it's protected freedom of speech, but there are limits, and especially when you're representing a company. So it's just a really dumb move. And, you know, I know people like Bully Ray did something similar a couple months ago, where he was, you know, arguing with a fan at ringside, and he said a bunch of homophobic slurs, and they were saying, well, he's getting heel heat. But, you know, when you're getting heel heat, that doesn't mean you can say whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
And,
for sure.
And there are limits. You can't say racist stuff. You can't, you know.
Yeah, there's a difference between getting heel heat and being just absolutely distasteful, right?
Right, exactly. So
interesting. All right. Well, we're going to have to wrap up the post-to-post report this week. And I got to say, it was a lot better with Raj involved. Would you?
Way better than just me and you, that's for sure.
Oh, talking about the business with James is like talking to a kindergarten kid. No? Just, is that too far?
Just doing anything with Corey is like, I don't know, I can't even think of a painful enough metaphor.
All right, so we're going to move on. We're going to move on here to talk about Extreme Rules in our next segment, the tale of the tape, we call it. But before we let you go, Raj, quick thoughts here. Are you excited for Extreme Rules at this point?
Not yet, no.
That's really all we need.
Yep. That's all we need.
Okay, now I'm going to invite you here. I want to invite you back next week because, yes, we talked about the business of the business tonight, but next week, if you're available, we'd love to talk storylines. We'd love to talk what's happening on Monday Night Raw as we head into Extreme Rules with you. Is that something you'd be interested in doing?
Yeah, sounds good. I'll talk to you guys next week.
Perfect. All right. Thanks a lot, Raj, for coming on the show. Talk to you then.
All right. Take care.
All right, man. There you go, James. Raj Geary.
Smart guy.
Very smart.
Glad to have him aboard.
Absolutely. And he's a good addition to this show. So hopefully something happens here with Raj and us. I mean, we never know, right?
Never know. That's how it will.
Let's just say it might not be a one-time interview.
Sounds good to me. I'd like that.
All right. Now, Monday Night Raw this week, James. Interesting or not?
It was definitely more interesting than last week, but I mean, still nothing to, you know, nothing to tweet to grandma about.
So my bigger question is why is anyone going to listen to us talk about Monday Night Raw in our next segment?
Because they've already come this far. Might as well go all the way, right?
All right, let's kick it off. Tail of the tape.
To start it off, to say the things unsaid, we toast this
A song. Randy has voices inside his head. Just watching him puts me to bed. It puts me to sleep. Randy walks down here on this ramp. His expression stays the same. Does his pose up in the corner. Can't think of anything more lame.
It's time for the tale of the tape.
This night, hear the fires burning red. We take this boat and steer it through.
I gotta admit, James, they might be onto something with Damian Sandow there.
That has to be his new gimmick. If he comes out every single time doing like a parody song to his opponent's theme music, that would just be awesome.
It's easier said than done, but I'm telling you, I really enjoyed what they did with Damian Sandow there. I thought it was very funny. And hey, the words you were speaking about Randy Orton, somewhat true.
Yeah.
Somewhat true. That's what made it so great.
Yeah, hit a little close to home.
So I'm very interested to see about if they follow up with that, because that is something very cool.
I don't think
something
they will.
Fresh with Damian Sandow.
I don't think they will. I think it'll be a one-time only thing.
You think it was just mic time?
I think it was just a little...
Come on.
A little something to spice up an otherwise nothing match.
You had something good there. Let's follow it up. Let's do it properly. This is something that the WWE needs. Why not give Damian Sandow some time?
No, I totally agree, but I don't. I just don't foresee it happening personally.
All right. So what did you think of Raw this week, James? I mean, we talked with Raj, and thanks again to Raj. And
yes,
you know,
thank you very much, man.
We've talked about the business side of things, but really let's get to the meat and potatoes of professional wrestling right now, and that is Monday Night Raw, the build-up to Extreme Rules. How are you feeling about this? I asked you off the top of the show what match you think is main event. Is it going to be Triple H versus Brock Lesnar? But you're sticking with Ryback and John Cena.
Still sticking with Cena and Ryback, I think.
So
yeah.
Where do we start here tonight? Because really, what's the bigger story to you?
Well, I think we should start with the cool things that happened on Monday Night Raw, or I should say the best thing that happened on Monday Night Raw this week, from Roanoke, Virginia, a town so important that the WWE neglects to make any mention of it.
As always. I love it when they do that. We should start a list of what cities make it and don't.
Yeah, we should actually.
If you get mentioned on Monday Night Raw, your city is doing well economically.
That's right.
That's the only way I can put it.
I guess, yeah. No, I think you're totally right.
It's funny to me now. It's good. But yeah. Okay, Extreme Rules, James. Now, I'm guessing here, because you think John Cena and Ryback is the main event of Extreme Rules, that we should talk about that first. Let's discuss that.
Well, not the most interesting development, I would say, this week on Raw. I mean,
okay.
You end off the show with Ryback standing tall over Cena. Yes. But really, are you sold on Ryback being this top heel
and eventing this pay-per-view? At all. I'm not sold on Ryback at all. That's the thing about this match. I like that John Cena is the champion, and that yes, he's in as intense of a battle as he can be right now.
Well, he's trying to make Ryback look as good as possible.
And I can appreciate that, because
yes,
this match does have some value. I mean, there is a chance that Ryback could take the strap off John Cena. But there is just something about this program that does not do it for me.
So Ryback adding the last man standing stipulation this week didn't add any excitement for you?
No, it didn't. And if you really want my honest, down-to-earth opinion as to why I'm not excited for this program, it's because of Ryback. I think what John Cena is doing right now, it's not good. Let's be honest. That opening segment on Monday Night Raw,
that's
where he
bad.
Came out and basically
that was the bad
crapped
one.
On
all right,
the
we'll
microphone.
Talk about the bad first.
No, I'm just, this ties in with it.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, I'm not surprised by stuff like that. So I can still kind of like look past that and be excited about a main event program, knowing that John Cena is probably going to spew out that garbage. But when I look at his opponent and I look at Ryback, I just think that they've done this all wrong. And that's what's not doing it for me. First of all, I look at the timing of it. You turn Ryback heel at a time when you were trying to build him as a babyface, and you just basically force the crowd into instead of cheering, you want them to start booing.
Yeah.
And then you do it against a guy that is supposed to be the face, and everyone is supposed to cheer him, but no one really wants to cheer John Cena as champion right now. And it was pretty evident as we came out of WrestleMania that it was going to almost be like a love-hate relationship with John Cena.
And it's always been that way, though. It's been that way for the last, what?
I know.
Like 4 years now.
But they've, now that he's got the belt on his shoulder, it means, you know, there's like this extra level now that's added. And your champion is John Cena, and not a lot of people, I mean, I'm not going to say the majority don't want to see John Cena as champion, but there are a lot of booers out in the crowd who don't want to see the strap on Cena's shoulder. Does that make sense?
No, I totally get what you're saying.
And then you are pitting him against a guy that the crowd isn't even sold on. And it's,
yeah,
maybe it's the comparisons to Goldberg that's doing it, or maybe it's just terrible catchphrase that he has. But Ryback is not what I expect him to be right now. And again, I'm just a fan. I don't have any real expectations. But I do know this. That catchphrase, Ryback rules,
it's, yeah,
horrible.
It is. It's bad.
And you're trying to sell it to the fans at a time when you're supposed to be hating the fans. But to me, when I think of why Ryback is doing that catchphrase, it's to sell merchandise. It's to sell this toque that he has.
Of course.
And so... That's the purpose behind all catchphrases and stuff like that
they come up with. It's all marketing.
I just feel like I feel like everything, all the triggers with Ryback have been pulled at the wrong time.
Yeah, well,
and that's what's ruining it for me.
Well, I think maybe creative got maybe they got their hands tied with all the injuries that have happened. I mean, well, this is crazy, all the injuries that are, tearing through the roster right now.
It is, and it. I'm trying to wrap my head around what they're going to do here. I mean, we got to start with John Cena and Ryback. And to me, with you mentioning these injuries, James, to me, it makes perfect sense to put the title on Ryback here. Have someone else come into the picture. You can have another main event program with Ryback and someone else. And maybe that someone else is someone like Damian Sandow or Cody Rhodes or someone who is deserving of a title shot. And then you can move John Cena over to have a program with someone else and perhaps build another star through John Cena.
No, I know what you're saying.
Right?
Yeah, no, I hear
so
what
to
you're
me,
saying.
I see Extreme Rules as this belt is coming off John Cena and it's going on to Ryback because, first of all, for anyone to have an interest in what Ryback will do after this John Cena match, to me, you got to have the strap on his shoulder because people aren't just going to really buy
into it
anymore.
Exactly. You have to give him the win because...
You have to.
I mean, the guy's on a 6 pay-per-view losing streak. His credibility is already seriously in question.
I know.
So
to me, you have to put
I think the strong feeling is Ryback is probably going to win in some fashion. I don't know if it's going to be clean. Who knows? Maybe the Shield gets involved. It becomes revealed maybe that Ryback's the fourth member of the Shield or something like
that. That's what I was going to say.
It's very Vince Russo-esque. Yes, I understand. Mm. But, I mean, that could be a semi-plausible way they could take the strap off of Cena. And then you could just have Cena win it back the next month at Payback, right?
I just look at this roster here and I'm trying to think of like, where do you go with these guys and how do you make a solid 3-hour Monday Night Raw week in and week out with the talent pool that you have?
Yeah.
And what I think is you need to build stars here. You need to give guys shots that you'd never even really had considered before. I'm pointing towards guys like Cody Rhodes, Damian Sandow. These are guys that you give them a main event shot, and when you do it, you do it properly. You don't have them win 1 week and lose the next. You have them come out. You give Damian Sandow the mic. What he did on Monday was good. You push him into a program with John Cena or Ryback or someone. Because right now, we are really hurting for stars. I mean, with Dolph Ziggler getting knocked out, it's not a good time for that. And the ratings are reflecting that. I mean, to me, the time right now to pique everyone's interest with Monday Night Raw is to give guys shots who just didn't have shots before. And that's how you turn this around, in my opinion. Because Ryback versus John Cena is not selling me on it. And seeing Triple H versus Brock Lesnar for the third time is not selling me on it either. I need to see something new, something to look forward to here. And to me, the answer is pushing new stars.
Well said.
Do you agree in any way?
No, I agree with you. Yes, pushing new stars is what the WWE needs to do, and it's what they haven't done, and it's the reason they're in the spot they're in right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. Honestly, I think it probably would have made way more sense to maybe have Mark Henry take on John Cena, and that would have, I don't know, that would have made more sense to me with the last man standing stipulation to have it be against somebody like Mark Henry.
Mark Henry was already a heel. Mark Henry was already a heel.
You know,
you could have thrown him
exactly
into John Cena's program.
And, you know, add on top of that, he won his match at WrestleMania. Add on top of that. Plus, you could have, you could have put Ryback against somebody like, you know, Wade Barrett and had him feud for the IC title belt,
mm-hmm.
and then win that IC title belt, and then, you know, slowly build a little bit of credibility up for him. Like, what's the matter with having Mark Henry and John Cena feud for 2 months?
Nothing. People wanted to see that.
Yeah, that would have been that. I would have been totally fine with that feud.
But I'm just saying, like, what they're doing is not working to me. It's just not. I'm not excited. I want to be excited. And like I said last week, I'm still buying the pay-per-view, and I encourage everyone to buy the pay-per-view because some questions are going to be answered, but I really believe, I'm disagreeing with what you had said earlier, I think there's going to be more questions left unanswered at the end of this pay-per-view, and that's because they are scrambling now, and they need to keep their doors open.
I have to say, the payoff for this match at Extreme Rules is pretty much the only thing that's keeping me really half peaked.
For which match? John Cena?
For John Cena and Ryback, I should clarify.
Yeah.
It's the payoff. That's the only thing that's keeping me interested, right? What are they going to do?
I mean, and you know what? You could argue that that is a good job of them selling the pay-per-view because people are wondering, is Ryback going to take the title off Cena?
And will he be a decent champion? But you're telling me this whole office smashing done by Brock Lesnar this week hasn't at least kindled a little bit of interest into this program for them?
With Brock Lesnar and Triple H?
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Oh, you're just moving right off of John Cena and Ryback.
I think we've blathered on about enough about them.
Fair enough.
For 1 week.
Okay, well, with Triple H and Brock Lesnar, what I think about is this. You were talking about what you had liked about Monday Night Raw earlier. This is something I really liked about Monday Night Raw this week.
I do too. I agree with you. I think it was the best thing that happened on Monday Night Raw.
Here's what I liked and here's what I didn't like. What I really liked was they made this camera footage look TMZ-like.
It's just an iPhone, really.
And it's a different way to present a storyline on Monday Night Raw because this is something that they had talked about earlier in the day through WWE.com, through Twitter. Paul Heyman was talking about it.
Yes.
They had promoted a storyline through social media, and then it graduated onto Monday Night Raw.
I totally agree with you. I think it's really cool how the WWE is now kind of like manufacturing these incidents and making them spread through social media and the website and stuff like that. We've been talking about this, you know, and you in particular, you've been saying this on the show for
years. It's how you make wrestling look real again.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, this is now officially dubbed the reality era, I guess.
And this was a good example of it.
This is a perfect way to do it. Exactly. This is a perfect way to do it. I thought it was very cool. I thought it was something, it was like a throwback to the Attitude Era almost.
Do I think the concept needs to be tweaked a little bit? Yes. First of all, to me, and this could just be me, and maybe it's because I work in TV, but I thought it was painfully obvious that that's not Triple H's office.
Oh, my God. Yeah, totally.
Well, no. Hold on. We say it's blatantly obvious to us. I don't think it was blatantly obvious to others because I haven't really heard a lot of people saying this. I don't think that's not Triple H's office that got torn up, and that may be ridiculous to even consider that it wasn't, but blatant edit point when the camera walks into the office, it like rubs the shoulder of Brock Lesnar, and you can see right then and there that's
I just personally thought that Triple H would have a more opulent office than
than
that little like cubicle.
I still liked what they did. I really did.
It was cool.
That's
a minor
detail. I mean, you're not actually going to go in and trash Triple H's office.
No,
as cool as
not.
That would be to see. That's not going to happen. So I thought they did a really good job of that. I really did. And here's something I really liked about that segment. A couple weeks ago, I had talked on this show about how we have nothing long-term to look forward to with professional wrestling. There's nothing that... There's no seeds planted of possible big matches down the road. Well, with what they did in this segment, there was this one little incident that just instantly gave something a spark.
It was a tiny little tease. It's nothing.
I'm telling you, it's enough.
It's enough. I'm telling you, it's nothing.
It's when Brock Lesnar walked down the hallway and looked at the posters on the wall and he saw The Rock advertised at that Royal Rumble pay-per-view earlier in the year and, you know, that just by Brock Lesnar staring at the Rock poster, no words were said. To me, that is a seed, a perfect seed being planted for a possible Brock Lesnar versus Rock match down the road. That's what I need. Just something like that.
Just a little tease like that, just to make you think, make you imagine what could possibly be.
They should have done that the night after WrestleMania.
I don't know. I'm still... personally, at this point, I think it's still heavily called into question whether we're going to see the Rock at next year's WrestleMania.
That little thing is... there was a lot of good things about that segment. I really enjoyed it. It's how you got to capitalize. You want to effectively use social media right now? This is how you do it. Stuff like that.
No, I totally agree with you. It was a great job. I really like how they're
now,
making stuff up now.
The question to you is does this interest you any more in the Triple H Brock Lesnar match that's happening in Extreme Rules?
I wouldn't say it interests me more than I already was, because I mean let's face it, this is the third time we're going to see this match. But I mean, I thought it was cool. I thought it was an interesting way to kind of, you know, escalate the feud a little bit. It was a neat little throwback to the wrestling days of old, I thought. And I mean, is this the match that I'm really going to pay, you know, whatever it is, $40 or $50 for the pay-per-view? Probably not.
No. But I wonder if that question is even worth being asked anymore. I really do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I agree.
It's kind of an obsolete question.
Yeah.
I don't think people are buying pay-per-views anymore just because they're interested to see a particular match. I think it's they either have a feeling as in this is going to be a good pay-per-view or this isn't going to be a good pay-per-view.
Really? You feel that?
That's how I look at it these days. I could be off on that, but...
You think people buy pay-per-views based on the whole card rather than just one match that they really want to see?
Yeah, I do. I think it's an overall vibe now.
Interesting. I'd probably disagree with you there, but that's...
All right.
But yeah.
Well, how come? Like, I think that in today's generation of wrestling fans, you have so many fans that are tuning in regardless of what they're watching on TV. It's just that they like watching wrestling. They like sitting on their couch on a Monday night and on the occasional Sunday to watch a pay-per-view. So if they have a good feeling about, yeah, this pay-per-view might do well, they're going to order and spend that $60. Or if they don't, right?
I see what you're saying. Yeah,
I mean, obviously the internet doesn't help anything either, but that's how I feel. They're looking at things these days, and that's probably why we only get mediocrity a lot of the times.
Oh, that's a whole nother creative issue that we could rip apart. But
okay, Triple H Brock Lesnar then. Let me ask you this. How are you feeling about who walks away from this match?
It's got to be Brock Lesnar, man. If Triple H wins this match, I will literally be shocked, because that I personally think that would be, this booking-wise, the stupidest thing you could do.
Okay, what kind of good could come out of Triple H winning here?
Nothing. What good would come out of Triple H winning here? He gets another one up on Brock Lesnar for smashing his office?
What about the fact that he's the man down the road and you can't have him looking weak to someone else in the company?
No, I'm sorry. This is an opportunity where you give a little bit of momentum back to Brock Lesnar, make him look really good, and you're able to write Triple H off of TV for a while so he can, you know, do his behind the scenes job.
All right.
That's the way I would go with it anyways. I'd be very, very shocked if Triple H wins this match.
Yeah.
Would you agree? Yeah.
Absolutely, I would agree. I can't see him winning, and I'm trying to find some reason to disagree with you, because that makes for good radio, but I think it's fairly obvious.
It's pretty much an open and shut deal in my view, but who knows? You know what? Maybe because it's an open and shut deal like we think it is, you're going to see Triple H come out on top.
Nah.
That's just, I don't know. Sometimes WWE does that, but I don't think in this case they would swerve just for the sake of a swerve.
Let's move on and talk about this triple threat ladder match.
And the big news from this week.
Yeah. I mean, Alberto Del Rio versus Jack Swagger versus Dolph Ziggler, who's got a huge question mark on top of his head right now. We talked about it in the post-to-post report. He possibly has suffered quite a serious concussion here. I mean, we don't know yet, and you and I will be the last to find out, most likely. But how devastating is it for this match heading into Extreme Rules?
Well, it's more devastating for Dolph Ziggler than I would say for the match. Because, I mean, if he really is seriously concussed where he can't perform, they will have to vacate the belt. And the match will have to be for a vacated World Heavyweight Championship, I guess. At that point, I guess you'd have to put the strap back on Del Rio, maybe. You know?
Oh, my God. Talk about a step backwards.
Just bad timing all around. Bad timing for Dolph Ziggler because his career was just taking that next step up. And bad timing for the WWE because now you've got all these guys that are just getting injured at the same time. Like, this is one of the worst rash of injuries I think I've ever seen the company have, really.
So is this still a triple threat match at Extreme Rules? Or are we about to quickly find out that there's some sort of swerve to make this a...
It's, you know what? At this point, it's too hard to speculate. I mean, the news was just breaking today that he had a concussion. But, I mean, I totally agree with you. It could throw the triple threat into serious jeopardy.
Which is a shame, too, because this would probably be one of the most entertaining matches. The fact that it is a ladder match and Dolph Ziggler was involved, I mean, or is at this point still, right? I mean, he's excellent in ladder matches.
Yeah.
And he would bring Jack Swagger and Alberto Del Rio to a whole new level. Those guys are going to have to almost keep up with Dolph Ziggler.
Exactly. That's the next thing, right? So. And, well, you know what? Who knows? Who knows? Maybe in the long run, this could turn out to be a great thing for Dolph Ziggler because maybe this thing keeps him, you know, maybe he takes a little bit of time off and he comes back and maybe he comes back as a babyface and he's totally over with the crowd. And
does this shorten CM Punk's holiday? Do we see CM Punk back in the WWE ring much sooner than later? Because I'm looking at the grand scheme of things here, James. You can't have The Undertaker work as much as you want him to.
Well,
you got to bring CM Punk back here. With Ziggler out, you're really hurting for wrestling.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
You're hurting for star power here.
I don't know. I hear what you're saying, but I think, Payback is supposed to be in Chicago, so I think that's probably when you're going to see CM Punk return, either just before Payback, maybe, or actually at the pay-per-view itself. Maybe he'll be like the surprise comeback, and who knows, maybe he'll come back as a babyface, right?
Yeah.
I really hope he doesn't. I think he's a way better heel, but...
I still go with my original idea. Let's start pushing new guys here. This is an opportunity to do it. Who knows if it happens, but... Here are some guys that you definitely have been pushing, and you should definitely continue to push, and that's The Shield.
Yes, The Shield. Again, continually looking strong from week to week, and great job by WWE Creative with these guys. I mean, avoiding the common pitfalls, really, that can associate stables and professional wrestling sometimes. Like, you know, sometimes, like, for example, they don't have a clear leader. Mm-hmm. A lot of the pitfalls that you saw with a lot of, you know, stables, like DX, for example, and Evolution, Triple H, and, you know, Hulk Hogan with the NWO, it was kind of like... You had your focus on one guy, and then everybody around him were supporting players. Well, it's not like that with The Shield.
Yeah. I mean,
everybody's on an equal level. And
another thing, you know, I really like about The Shield
is no strife. You know, they're not fighting with each other. There's no internal strife.
There's no signs of internal struggle.
They're a cohesive unit from week to week, and that's, I think, plays a big part into their success. Well,
it doesn't help they're not losing either, which is something I bring up because
a
lot of superstars these days...
And they're being protected very well, especially Reigns' spear.
Yeah. What I was going to say, though, was you look at other guys who are apparently getting pushes, and, you know, you could say The Miz or Wade Barrett or Dolph Ziggler. These guys' supposed pushes that they have throughout time, they're still losing matches or they're still having questionable results. Or, you know, like, it's never a 100% push. It's kind of like a 60% push.
Well, these guys have been constantly strong since...
That's a difference.
Since Survivor Series, when they debuted, that's like 6 months ago now.
Booking them properly.
Usually at the six-month mark, you'll start to see, like with stables and stuff like that, you'll start to see cracks, you know, internally, guys starting to fight or at least argue with each other, stuff like that.
You're not seeing that here, though.
And no, you're not seeing that. You're seeing a nice, you know, a cohesive unit, like I said.
Yeah.
You know, again, no clear leader, so everybody's on an equal level. Yeah. You know, everybody plays their part and makes up one great whole. I mean, you got Dean Ambrose. He's the great talker. You got Seth Rollins, he's the real, you know, athletic guy, and then you got Roman Reigns, who's your powerhouse. So, I mean, it's a perfect combination. And
all very good on the mic.
All very good on the mic, absolutely.
And they just got a great look.
They do. They have a great look. The old boss man vest, a bulletproof vest look.
I'm still trying to figure out how you're allowed to wear a vest like that in the ring, but for matches, that is.
You know what was funny? Watching Raw with you there on Monday, I'm looking at Seth Rollins, and he's got all these buckles and chains on his back, and I was saying to you, doesn't that hurt when he takes a bump? Like, he's got this probably doesn't feel nice.
One thing I don't really think is... one thing I should say I'm not so... What's the word I'm looking for? One thing I'm not feeling so great about when it comes to The Shield, let's say, is just how they're being used in terms of finishing matches. And really, they just come out each week, try to deliver a beatdown.
My whole plot device argument.
They're either successful at the beatdown or they're either not successful at the beatdown. It all seems very repetitious to me. I'm not really like seeing anything new with the Shield. It's kind of been the same thing each week.
But people would argue that sameness each week is one of the things that's making the Shield such a good group as they are right now. Is that they keep coming out and they keep looking strong every single week, doing the same thing every week.
Yeah.
I would argue that they're still being used as a plot device. They don't have any real clear motivation. But
they need to take it to the next level, is what I'm saying.
I mean, the WWE does have like a pseudo NWO on your hands here now, where you can, have guys come out and do sneak attacks, and then I mean that is a valuable plot device.
It's funny you mentioned NWO.
It's
funny you mentioned NWO because they at some point added members along the way. Are we at a point here with the Shield where at Extreme Rules we could see possibly Ryback join the Shield?
Well, like I said before, that's very Vince Russo, but I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility.
We haven't really seen a beatdown to Ryback from the Shield yet at all, have we?
No.
So really, Ryback's like the only guy that has.
And we have predetermined that the Shield are essentially mercenaries because they were working for Paul Heyman for money. Even though that whole storyline has been scrapped and
that means nothing.
Scrapped and forgotten right now. It's been predetermined that they're mercenaries. So maybe Ryback's paid them off. Maybe he's hired them. Huh. Maybe that's how he'll win his last man standing match against Cena. Yeah. They come out, do a triple power bomb off the stage through
a few tables
or something. It'll be some cool spot.
Well, last week we were talking about how they might use the ankle injury, John Cena's ankle injury, to That's weird though that they did that, isn't it?
Brushed off and forgotten. I think he's still kind of hurt in a way, but I don't think they want to bring as much attention to it right now.
He referenced his ankle, I should say, at the beginning of Monday Night Raw when he looks to the handheld camera just as he walks out of the entranceway.
But he's got no bandages on.
Yeah, I know. So,
he's not selling it or anything.
What was that?
I don't know. Was it just completely gone or forgotten? Or are we going to all of a sudden next week on Raw see Cena with bandages around his ankle and selling it again?
Okay, you know what? This will be a good opportunity here to talk about John Cena for a couple minutes.
Okay, are you going to rant about John Cena?
No,
I agree with you. What he did on Monday, that promo at the start of Raw was just... that was bad Cena comedy at its finest.
I'm just trying to figure out.
I use finest.
What are we supposed to think about John Cena? Are they purposely trying to create this mixed reaction with him? Are they purposely doing that so they get the cheers and the boos and the mixture and the controversy and the drama? And some people love him and some people hate him. Is that what they purposely go for here?
I think at this point, I'm almost thinking that they are, because at the end of the day, when all the history books are written and everything's said and done, I think Cena is going to be one of the only guys, if not the only guy, who has ever elicited a kind of mixed reaction that he has in the history of pro wrestling.
But then I just look at it, like, I look at Monday, for example, and this guy is supposed to be the man, the face of your company, and he comes out and he just spits garbage off the microphone.
Yeah,
like, it was absolute bad. Garbage.
No, it was bad. I agree.
Even to the point where Michael Cole, and JBL and Jerry Lawler were all kind of like, they were even kind of like making little like crap laughs or little cracks amongst
each other.
They were
saying, thank you, Vicky Guerrero, for coming out and interrupting him.
I'm just like.
I was saying, thank you, Vicky Guerrero, for coming out and interrupting
him. I look at that segment and I go, there's no way that they can't see that it's going to be that over the top or that ridiculous.
I don't know.
I think they do it on purpose.
It's the writers, man.
I think they do it on purpose.
I wouldn't be surprised at this point.
But it killed all momentum with Ryback to me. It's like he comes out and he Raw falls flat right away. Like you start the show off with this momentum killer.
How did we get back to John Cena and Ryback?
Well, because there's not a lot else to talk about here with Extreme Rules. I mean, really, we only have one other announced match, James, and that's Sheamus versus Mark Henry. You want to talk about that? Exactly.
Oh, I know. I totally hear what you're saying. I mean, no, I'll say this. Mark Henry was, I thought he was really good on Monday Night Raw.
Okay.
He came out. I like what they're doing with Mark Henry these days, and did you see Sheamus' back after it was all said and done?
When he got hit with all those leather straps?
Yeah. I thought that was all right. It was nice to see Sheamus take a...
Well, they're selling the word extreme. Yeah. Actually, let me ask you this before you get into Sheamus and Mark Henry.
Okay.
With Extreme Rules, are you happy that every match has a stipulation to make it more extreme, as they say?
Well, I think it's the conundrum you have with WWE calling a pay-per-view extreme, but really handcuffing themselves into what can actually be termed extreme. So as far as every match having a stipulation, I think you kind of have to.
With a
pay-per-view called Extreme Rules, you kind of have to. Because, I mean, a normal singles match, I don't think really works at a pay-per-view like that. So, yeah, you kind of do have to have a stipulation.
We've never really been let down at Extreme Rules. I've always liked Extreme
Rules. Last year's was really good.
And
last
the years
year,
before was.
Last year had that, John Cena-Brock Lesnar match that, I mean, it had the crap. Booked ending, but
considering they sell it all as the PG era, I think they've always lived up to Extreme.
Here's an interesting little stat I'll throw at you that I found today. Did you know that this is the third time in the last 5 years that John Cena has wrestled at the pay-per-view after WrestleMania in a last man standing match for a title?
Why didn't you throw that in there when we were talking about John Cena earlier?
I totally skipped my mind until we came back.
No, that's an interesting stat, though.
No, yeah, in 2009, he wrestled Edge for the World Heavyweight Championship in a last man standing match. In 2010, it was Batista for the WWE title. And, yeah, now you have it this year.
Well, what do you say?
Is that lazy? Is that lazy on creative's part?
Is it coincidental? I don't know. It's this pay-per-view is so weird to me because the thing is I want to be excited about wrestling.
Your fans' excitement up after WrestleMania
They started it all off on the wrong foot the night after WrestleMania. I really do.
It was a poor choice to go with Ryback.
It was. It was a poor choice, in my opinion. Are we in the minority in that?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so at all.
No?
I don't know. Are we in the minority? I don't feel, based on what I've seen online and stuff like that. I mean, that's all I can base it on, obviously.
And then you throw out a match that's already happened twice before and we're watching it for a third time.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think...
But can you imagine what this card would be like if it didn't have that match?
I know. So, this is my point here is, we may be overly critical here, but I think we bring up some pretty valid points as to why this pay-per-view isn't doing so well or why it's not looking as promising or as exciting as it may or as it should.
Mm-hmm.
So to me that, you know, do the WWE see it that way? Or does the WWE see it that way? That's a question.
That's an interesting question, yeah.
You know? Or are they wholeheartedly admitting that they are in scramble mode and they are trying to fit pieces of a puzzle together and trying to figure out what's working and what isn't? Is this like a complete... not blow up of the roster, but is this a complete time? Is this a time when we all just need to be a little patient and just get through it?
So. I think so. I think probably, like I've been saying this whole show, I think really creative has had their hands tied with all the injuries, and then you know, because I really think that The Rock was supposed to be heavily featured in Extreme Rules, so with him not sticking around because he got injured, that really threw them for a loop. I think everything that we've seen so far has been a product of it.
Fair enough.
So
I want to get back to Sheamus Mark Henry.
Okay.
Quick thoughts on that.
It's an interesting feud. Is it really interesting? No, I go back on that. It's not interesting at all. Honestly, I like Mark Henry. I really do. I like him being the monster heel that he is, but I think he's languishing with Sheamus. He really should have been taking on John Cena instead of Ryback, I think, and that would have been a way better choice. It would have made way more sense, and that's all I got to say about that.
What are your thoughts on Sheamus right now?
Well, my thoughts always on Sheamus. It's just, I don't know. He's you know.
John Cena SmackDown.
Pseudo. He's John Cena version 2, right?
I know.
You got to, yeah.
No, I'm holding back.
I'm not going to hold anything back. He's a decent performer in the ring and stuff like that. And he does give it his all when he goes out there.
Monday was evident of that.
Yeah, I'm not going to take anything away from him as a performer. But just, am I interested in him as a character and stuff like that? No, I'm not really. Right.
It's an interesting time for the WWE right now.
It is.
So Extreme Rules, May 19th, James. You're ordering it though, right?
I think so. I think I'll probably give it a look.
That's only because you're a hardcore fan, though. Not because the show's looking good. Is that right?
I'd probably say you're right in that aspect.
All right, that'll wrap it up for Tale of the Tape for another week. James and I could go for hours.
We could.
One day we should. James, quickly. There's a lot of local wrestling happening this weekend. A big show happening in Kitsilano, what, Saturday? Is that right?
That's right, Saturday. This Saturday, May 11th. It's ECCW, and it's their big 17th anniversary show. And actually, it's just been announced that the BC Lions, which is our local football team, they're actually going to be Lumberjacks in the main event. That's going to include the Bollywood Boys, which
crazy.
Are one
that
of our
good.
Favorites. Yeah, it's going to be a good one. So again, like you said, it's at the Russian Community Center out in Vancouver. That address is 2114 West 4th Avenue if you're in Vancouver. The doors open at 7:30 p.m. The bell time's at 8 p.m. And if you want any more information or want to order tickets, you can always visit ECCW's website, and that's eccw.com.
Better not get hurt out there, BC Lions. That would be bad.
That would be bad.
Getting hurt before the CFL season starts at an ECCW
at
event.
A professional wrestling show.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be just fine.
Rumor has it that it's our own local wrestling insider, Corey Basso, put that together.
Interesting.
Look at him.
www.smacktalkradiolive.com. Like our page at facebook.com/smacktalkradio. We're also on Twitter at SRL Radio.
What's that address?
At SRL Radio.
Yes.
And hit us up at stitcher.com. That'll wrap it up for another week.
I always say we have an email address on air at smacktalkradiolive.com. You know, send us your thoughts. Do you like Raw? Are you liking wrestling in general as a whole? You know, hit that send button to on air at smacktalkradiolive.com. There could be some cool stuff heading your way.
We have lots to chat about as it's go home week next week for Monday Night Raw heading into Extreme Rules. It'll be go home week for us at Smack Talk Radio Live. We want to hear from you. You can't always want to hear from the Starsky and Hutch of professional wrestling talk radio. No, that doesn't work.
No, I love it. No, I do. I love it.
All right. I'm Corey Callahan.
And I am James McDonald.
See you next week.
Thanks for listening.